You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Let's Hang Out, the podcast where, ooh baby, do you know what that's worth?
Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
I hope that syncs up.
If not, you're going to make it sync up and it's
going to be great. It's going to be great. Zoom harmonies,
you
baby.
You had to know it was coming.
I was ready. Yeah, I was ready. Literally, I was prepared with the harmonies. Yes.
Yes. As I would only have of you. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We have our Trova trip coming up in September. There are 13 spots that have already been filled and 5 spots left. You can sign up at bit.ly/lesdocroatia.
We also want to remind you that in season 6, we are releasing bonus episodes for our Patreon supporters. Our next episode is coming out today, and it is all of our thoughts on the movie Ammonite. So if you want to catch that or any of our other Lestricurriculars episodes, this is our 10th one, so we've been putting them out every month. You can find all of those at any support level at bit.ly/lespatreon.
In the Greater Les universe, Hannah Gadsby's comedy special is out. If you want to watch something fun and gay, do it.
Amazing. Have you watched it yet? I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it was good. So I trust.
It's
and I did
list.
Love her first special, or like her most recent special. I don't know if it was her first one. But she cracks me up, so I'm sure it's going to be great. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll check it out. We'll get some reviews. Also, Ellie, have you seen this Starbucks commercial that came out of India?
No.
Okay. I'm going to send it to you. It will make you cry.
Great.
But it's just very, very sweet.
Just like this episode?
It's like, yeah, they have like a trans daughter, and it's sort of like dad's coming around to accepting his trans daughter via Starbucks, like, names on the coffee cups.
Aww.
It's very sweet. It's going to make you cry. And if you haven't seen it yet, we retweeted it from, you can find it on our Twitter. It's cute. You should check it out.
I love that. So beautiful. Also in the Greater Les universe, Dolly Parton. That's it. The answer is Dolly Parton. but she has a new album coming out called Rockstar, which is her covering a bunch of rock songs with a bunch of different special guests. Lots of really cool queer guests. Joan Jett, Brandi Carlile. I don't think Debbie Harry is like officially queer, but like Blondie is queer culture. Melissa Etheridge is going to be singing What's Up by Four Non Blondes, which we know is like gay culture. The only thing that's sort of shitty about it, which people have been talking about, is she's also doing a duet with Kid Rock, which is like, Dolly, we love you and we get that you're like all people, but not all people.
Not all people.
No. So that, not a fan of that, but I will listen to the rest of the album because I love Dolly.
Boycott that one track.
Just that track. I hope that the least listened to track that she's ever produced. But other than that, that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 20 of season 6, our next installment of Lessentials.
Lessentials is a recurring segment on the show where we dive into classic lesbian movies or TV shows.
And don't forget, we are writing and recording original songs for every Lessentials episode that we do. You are going to want to stick around to the very end of today's episode for our original song called Paradise. What a bop.
The 80s is just like a bang in time for music. Just like
it really was so
iconically synthy. I can't wait. Oh, synths on synths. Because today we are talking about the 2016 Black Mirror episode, San Junipero.
It's time.
It is time. It's beyond time. This was written by Charlie Booker and directed by Owen Harris, starring Mackenzie Davis and Gugu Mbatha-Raw, which is crazy because our last Lessentials starred her too.
Are we in our Gugu Mbatha-Raw era?
Yes.
Is that what's happening this season?
I mean, I'm obsessed with her, so that's
fine. I mean, lesbians were always in our Mackenzie Davis era, right?
Yeah. So. Kelly is such a good character.
I love them both, honestly. I love them both.
So good. I also was like, I cannot believe we have gone so many seasons without doing this as a Lessentials.
Yeah.
Because this is just like, I feel like in the general public, this is like a great lesbian TV show episode, right? Like it won 2 Emmys. Everyone can agree this episode is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like it's not just like a deep dive into like the depths of lesbian cinema to find, which we still love those deep dives. But you know what I mean? Like this is like really high on the list.
You know what I think, Ellie? Because here's the thing. How many Lessentials did we actually do before we started writing songs? 1, 2?
So we did Debs and Carol. Carol and has
Carol,
a song.
Carol had technically, sort of. Right?
So those
go,
were the,
I should go back and
You really
and
should do a Debs song.
I know.
You really
but
should
here's
do a
the thing.
Song.
I feel like, I think I'm glad that we kept this a little on reserve and held this back a little bit until I feel like you and I have really like we've hit our stride now a lot with these songs of like I mean you've heard me say like I feel like especially last season for me was when I felt like we really started like
producing some
popping
like,
off on some of these songs
radio
you know?
Worthy bops.
All bops all the time here yes. Hang out okay
yes
I just feel like we are now like you and I are a well-oiled machine and I'm glad we waited until we hit that point to do this because
the song is gonna be wild
yeah so maybe that's why we were just like somewhere
we were just
in the back
waiting
of our heads like we knew
yes we knew we this is the right moment. So tell us our IMDb synopsis before we dive in.
Okay. Our IMDb synopsis for San Junipero, specifically the episode of Black Mirror. When Yorkie and Kelly visit San Junipero, a fun-loving beach town full of surf, sun, and sex, their lives are changed.
I want to go to San Junipero. Surf, sun, and sex.
Right? It's so funny because it's like, I mean, I get it. Like, I get why it's written the way it's written. But it also just sounds like a totally different
yeah
movie.
But that's like
but
it's
also it's the wrong thing and yeah. I get it
but
it's
to be
misleading
fair
by design,
that's sort
sure.
of the point yeah so I like I don't begrudge it that right
no
like,
I don't either
like it's because it's a Black Mirror episode they're like let's tell you what this is on the surface but you have to watch it to understand what it really is about
yeah
which I appreciate surf sun and sex baby
surf sun and sex. I feel like I should also we should just do one quick preface listen this came out 6 years ago. spoilers ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you have never seen San Junipero.
San Junipero.
Honestly, if you haven't seen it, though, like, turn off. I've said this before.
Stop. Yes, stop
But turn
now.
Off this episode. It's an hour long.
Just go, like, watch it.
Just go watch it. It's just on Netflix. It. Like, yeah. You need to see it. It's so yes. good.
It's so good. It's also, like, even if you've tried Black Mirror and you were like, Black Mirror isn't for me. Because, like, let's be real. Black Mirror is largely a horror show. And this is, like, their least horror.
Love story.
It's
not, yeah.
yeah. It's a love story. It's beautiful. Mm. It's not a horror at all. It's sci-fi-ish.
Yeah.
But it's, if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. And if you wade past these signs into deadly water, spoilers.
Yeah, yeah, spoilers
ahead,
are
okay,
ahead.
That's all. We're not gonna.
I mean, there's no way
that.
We can talk about this without spoiling it. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. But I'll also, for sure, definitely, please watch this episode. God, it's so fucking good. I can't
it's
even stand
so
it. I'm
good.
Like, I'm antsy. I'm like so excited to get into
I
it because
am
I
so
fucking
excited.
Love it.
So I watched it again last night. And I don't remember the last time I've seen it. Like, I probably watched yeah. it maybe a few times when it came out. And then I was like, okay, let me rewatch for this episode. And oh my gosh, I was so emotional. Like, I know, obviously, listeners, if you've been here for a long time, you know, Ellie cries, Lee doesn't. That's a thing. Whatever.
That's how it works.
Wait, did you cry? You didn't.
Of course I didn't cry, okay. Ellie.
Just
I'm
checking.
A monster with no emotions.
Just checking because, like, when I say I cried, like, I was blubbering.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching it with Jana and, like, we both started just absolutely bawling and, like, to the point where, like, I couldn't breathe. Like, the episode was over and I was like, I'm not okay. Like, I don't know what
you know,
to do, but I need help.
You know what? Listen. This, the first time I watched this episode, I could possibly have been pregnant. And
so
I
you
did
cried?
Cry a lot more with pregnancy. I don't remember crying at this. I'm just saying, like, if there
you
was
might
ever
you
a
might
chance
have.
That I
yeah.
cried at something,
it was
likely
this.
While I was pregnant because the hormones, I would find myself tearing up at commercials suddenly. And I was like, is this what people's life is like?
Is this,
like,
what is this what other Pisces feel like? Is this what Ellie
this
feels
what
like
other
all the time?
Lives are like all the time? This is terrible. I would get so emotional at, like, just nothing, just nothing, like a song, a commercial, mm-hmm. a something, and I was just like, what's happening to me? Yeah, so
I was
anyways
so emotional.
It's possible. I'm just gonna say it's possible. I don't remember crying at it, so I probably didn't, but I just want you to feel like I'm still human. Somewhere
yeah,
in
I know somewhere in there there's a heart.
I have lots of feelings. I
they
just
don't come out
don't
through your
cry.
Eyes yeah, yeah. it's okay I get it.
They
I don't
come
think
out
you're
through my music.
Yes,
Ellie, no.
I understand. I get it, but yeah, for me, they come out through my eyes. Like,
they do
intensely, and this was really intense for me. This rewatch. How was the rewatch for you?
The thing is I feel like when I watched it the first time around, I was like so busy trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like you could tell something was happening, and obviously, like, you hit
well, it's
a
Black
point.
Mirror also, so you're
sure.
like there has
sure.
to be something off here,
and you hit a certain point where you're just like, wait a minute, like, what the fuck, and then
yeah.
and so I was like so caught up in like trying to figure it out, you know. The second time watching it, like this rewatch, for me, I really just got to appreciate so much how clever some of the dialogue was, mm-hmm. how clever the soundtrack is, like some of the choices that they made that are so good, like just how well crafted of an episode of television it is.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of that really, really jumped out at me this time. And this is top notch, man. This is well done. This is well
so
put
good.
Together, well written, well filmed, well just like
everything.
Yeah, just
the
everything.
Chemistry between the two leads like is like the height of lesbian chemistry for me.
I'm like, obsessed with them. I am
it's wild.
Obsessed. Obsessed
yeah.
with them. I
it
love
is wild.
Them.
How do we want to talk about this? We want to just start from
I
the beginning and let's just
yes,
dive in because there's so much content in here.
Let's do a super quick plot run through, just, you know, refresher if it's been
yes.
a while or for people who have failed to heed our warnings and are just gonna like follow along. So quick plot refresher of the episode. So Again, Black Mirror, they're all standalone episodes. This is its own little thing. So we open on San Junipero and we meet Yorkie, Mackenzie Davis. She's in her little shorts and sweatshirt with a button, like a collared shirt underneath, and her little glasses. And she is so fucking
so cute.
Ugh, I die. And she's like, I'm going to a bar. Here I go. Right? She's like, I'm going out to have a good time. And she goes to this bar club, whatever, in San Junipero. It's called Tucker's. And she sees a girl.
Not just any girl, like the most dynamic, like wildly charismatic girl I've ever seen in my life.
But how do you feel about Gugu Mbatha-Raw?
Oh my God, love her. I know. I also do feel like I'm like, this is like, well, you know that me and my friend Alexa dressed up as the two of them for Halloween.
I do know that. I know. And you looked great.
Look exactly like
them. What a great costume choice for you two.
It was the perfect costume. And like, in ways, I am not even close to as awkward as, like, not even close to as awkward as, what's her name is?
Yorkie
is. But, like, I do relate to the, like, that you see that girl and you're just like, that's the one.
Yeah.
Like, I just know it.
Well, and of course, I mean, it's like, when you look at the two of them, especially in this opening scene where it's like, yeah, Yorkie's there in her little, like, oh, I got my crew neck sweatshirt and my little, you know, like, button down collar, and I'm just here with my nerdy glasses, and I don't know how to dance. And like, Kelly is like, rhinestone jacket, hair up, dancing, party girl, here we go. I mean, they're like night
so
and day,
opposites,
right?
Like, so opposites so attract, opposite. Like wild, but yeah. Loving that for them.
So of course, Kelly jumps out to her, right? She's like, yeah. She's the life of the party, right? Mm-hmm. But like, Yorkie's feeling it out. She's got like a dweeby guy who's trying to like talk video games with her, and she's like, maybe I want to play arcade games. I don't know what I want to do here, right? So they're like looking at arcade games, and then Kelly is being followed, bothered by the guy she's there with, Wes, who just is a little insistent. And so Kelly comes over and she's like, just go along with everything I say, and like sits down, right? Just like a classic,
The meet cute's so good.
I love them. So
like,
she like sits
save
down.
Save me from this man. Great meet
cute. And so she like sits down with Yorkie and is like, we've known each other for, oh, my old friend here, right? Which like, again, this is dialogue that you did not appreciate fully the first time you watch this episode, right? Like all of these conversations where she's like, oh, like my old friend here, like we've known each other so long, right? Which of course, when you're looking at them, I mean, they look like they're what, 27 maybe?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So you're like, oh, sure. And then she's like, oh, like she's dying soon and all this stuff, like just all of this like very veiled, like thinly veiled dialogue when you know the premise,
when you know the end, that like
reality.
She actually is dying soon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Well, and that also, like, everybody in this
in
place
there
is probably
is
actually,
soon.
Like, 86 years
something.
Old,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and, like, about to, like, kick the bucket or something in real life. So,
yes.
Sure. So, they have this great moment. They meet, and then they, you know, they kind of start chatting. They're hitting it off. Like, Yorkie's telling Kelly that it's her first time in San Junipero.
Yep.
Again, like dialogue that just flies right under your. This episode's so well written. I feel like I just want to highlight like every.
Yeah, when she's like, "Are you a tourist?" Right, like, "Are you a tourist? Or are you full time here?"
Yes.
Right, like, and like, if you're watching it for the first time, you're like, "Okay, so it's like a beachside town."
Sure.
Where like, if you were on like Cape Cod, someone would be like, "Okay, are you just here for the summer? Like, are you here forever? Like, are you permanently here?" But then it's like way more than that.
Yeah, and Kelly's pointing out all of the stuff about like, you know, oh, like you're just so like casual, you know, like she's dressed so casual, and she's like, everyone here
is trying so hard
to like
recapture their
youth
also,
right? Like, well, yeah, sure. But it's like the way they're doing, I mean, it's like, yeah, everyone there is like basically on the verge of like a Jane Fonda workout tape outfit.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I was curious, so
they're like two steps away from a Jazzercise. Yes. VHS is like,
do we know what this came out in 2016. Is it set? What year is it supposed to be?
No, it has to be set in the future. Like, look at the stuff that they had in just, like, the design of her, like, old nursing home.
Yeah.
Like, nothing looked present
but like,
day.
But how much in the future? Do you know what I mean? Because I'm, like, I was curious, like, she got, like, so, sorry to fast forward, but, like, Yorkie got in a car accident and then is, like, now going in here and she's, like, you're so authentically you. Like, I was, like, is there any possibility she got into a car accident in the 80s?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, it's not clear. Like, I don't know if that was the intention. But I was like, maybe that is actually just like what she was wearing in that time anyways. So she wasn't trying too hard.
That's possible. I didn't even think about that. I don't think they give us a
Well, she got in her car accident when she was 21.
Yeah.
So like it could have been like 59 years, 2039.
Yeah, that makes sense. For like everything's like futuristic but not wildly so, right?
So, like, I don't know. That was, like, I was like, oh, this is sort of interesting because it seems like she never, like, it seemed like Yorkie hadn't actually experienced any of these decades.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I just find it interesting.
I'm like, we could talk about this episode for hours.
And we will.
So, okay, so continue. Yeah, so they're talking, they're hitting it off. They're like, you know, it's Yorkie's first time and all this stuff. And they're clearly, there's some chemistry.
Sexual tension, yeah.
There's some sparks flying. There's some tension. Kelly, dealing with tension, like I'm sure she always does, is like, let's dance, right? And she's like, out. She's shimmying on the dance floor. She's feeling it. She's like into it. Yorkie is like, my body hasn't moved in 60 years.
So true. She's like, Yorkie's... I have no clue how to move my limbs.
Yeah. Yorkie's trying so hard and so helplessly to like feel like she fits in on a dance floor, even though she's clearly dealing with some like I've been in a, you know, basically like vegetative state for my entire life, and B, gay panic.
So much gay panic.
Like a lot.
Like a wild amount. And then too, like, yeah, what I find so interesting about this is, like, when you look at it from the lens of, like, if you're looking at it like, this is two mid-20-year-olds meeting for the first time, you're like, all right, yeah, Kelly's way more experienced, like, whatever. But then you're like, no, she's way more experienced. Like, yeah. I was – all right, so Kelly's probably what? Like, it says when she dies she was 70-something?
When Kelly dies, I don't think we find out, do we?
It says it on her tombstone when we see it at the end. I think it's important because I'm like, I do want to talk about the events as they occur through the lens of like what happens. She's in her 70s, I think.
Yeah.
Because she dies of cancer. And I mean, she could die of cancer at any age, but like I think I saw in the tombstone she's in her 70s. And she's married to the same man for however long. So it's like, I don't know, both of them are going through like a certain gay puberty, but like Kelly's like the elder gay.
Okay, Kelly aged 73 years.
Yeah,
sorry.
See,
I had to run the tape.
Yeah,
you know?
I knew it was in her 70s. I remembered that when I saw the tombstone. But I also find it fascinating where I'm like, Yorkie's almost like 21 years old, also mentally.
Yeah.
Because she never experienced anything past being 21. So then I also was like, do I have weird feelings about like this 70-year-old with this 21-ish-year-old? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, know she's not.
Yeah,
20, like,
but
she's
like,
not. But
she just can't respond very well. Like,
she's still been alive. She's just like, yeah, I know. She's just like somewhat like mentally immature.
Yeah.
And like immature in gayness. So then we're like dealing with a baby gay.
Oh, so immature in gayness.
Like such a baby gay. Like the babiest of gays. And this like
I know, but I feel like that's what I love about her too. Because it's like, so they're in this scene on the dance floor and like Kelly's just busting moves out. Like they are going out of style, right? Like she and I mean, they are. They're 6 years out of style. She is like feeling herself. She's going nuts. And like Yorkie literally just like runs away.
Runs.
She's just like, yeah, books it out of there. Like Kelly's turned around like shimmying and stuff. And like Yorkie just leaves.
Yep. Sounds
which
right.
Which I just, the whole scene is just like so painful and relatable for, I think, a lot of queer
Baby gays. You know what I find so fascinating about this movie, though? Like, I know we're going through, is like, it's relatable, and yet I can still tell it's written by a man.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, I do.
It is relatable, and I think, like, the acting and the chemistry between the two leads makes it so I forgive so much shit.
Yeah.
But, like, part of me when I'm, like, when I look at it at face value, like, it is, like, Yorkie came out and then she got in a car accident. Like, oh, she's, like, right after she came out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
I was holding some of my thoughts about that till the
Sorry,
end.
Sorry, until the end.
No, you're so
But, like,
right
same
on.
Way
like,
that
absolutely.
They sort of, like, write this awkward gay interaction where, but I still eat it up where they're like,
yes.
Like, I need you to teach me. And I'm like, fuck it. I love this shit. You know what I mean?
But it's great. It's great.
Yes.
So listen. So she runs away. She goes outside. It's raining in San Junipero. And she's in a little alleyway feeling her gay feelings and being conflicted and just standing sad. Like, just, I don't know why. Like, Mackenzie Davis just, like, standing sadly in the rain.
I know.
And you're just like, oh. I mean, I think part of what it is also is that it's like, I don't know if you remember when she's in the alleyway and there's, like, the rain is falling and there's just this little moment where she, like, sticks her little foot out in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, this poor woman has not stood up, been outside, felt rain, experienced anything in decades.
50 years, 60 right? years, yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, there's just, I think there's just something about, like, that. When, again, it's like when you watch it again, there's like so much more stuff that like takes on so deeper meanings, you know, like the next time you watch these scenes through. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's so sad watching her be like, people were staring. And Kelly's like, nobody cares.
Like, yeah. When she's like, people, like, she's like, because in her mind, she's living in homophobic 60 years ago.
Right.
And even still, it's like, nobody cares. Is like such a like double-edged thing, right? Nobody cares in San Junipero because everyone's dying anyways, or like, who gives a fuck if you're gay,
right?
But also, like, in the real world, people are not as close-minded either, and Yorkie has never experienced that. So it's like, there's so many layers to it.
There's so many layers to every word in this script has like so many layers. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. It's like Kelly in her little rhinestone jacket with her fringe and her huge earrings and her big necklaces and her it's just everything. It's like everything about the two of them. And you're just like, Yorkie is literally like having an existential breakdown, and like Kelly's like, you've never been dancing.
Like, yeah. I know,
it's just so silly. It's so silly, the whole thing about it. And it's like, she's flirting so aggressively and so shamelessly, and Kelly is like just Menti B, full on display. Like, she is, this girl is not okay, right?
I know.
And she is so awkward, and she's just like, I have to leave now.
I know. She's like, I'm engaged. I'm sorry.
I'm engaged.
And then that whole thing adds another layer too, where she's like, I'm engaged, but it's complicated. And then you learn later about the engagement, whatever.
Well, and it's also, it's like, again, it makes some of these things so funny where it's like, when you watch this the first time through and Yorkie's like, I'm engaged, and you think she's in her 20s and you're like, okay, sure. But then you like pick up on like Kelly's reaction to like, you're engaged?
Because it's like, you're probably dying soon. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like, what's the...
Exactly. Like, it's just, it's all very funny. And she's like, okay, well, like, he's not here, right?
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, I can't. Oh, it's fine. It's okay. Like, I can't. And you're like, oh my God, you two.
I know. Well, and Kelly's so forward. Already. She literally is like, want to go to bed with me?
Yes.
Like, she doesn't.
He's like, let's shake hands. Bye. Nice
like, okay,
to meet
bye.
You.
But also this, like, so gay, right? Okay, bye. She disappears. And Yorkie spends the next, like, 15 to 20 minutes of the episode. Like, that's an exaggeration. But she spends the next however long searching
yeah.
for her. She's like,
well, no, because it's not. She's like, okay, that, right?
She's like, I freaked out.
No, because it's she looks for her after they sleep together.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Right? Okay.
So you're she right. leaves, and then we get our first cryptic 1 week later, mm-hmm. right? Because you keep getting these things where it's like, okay, they have this interaction, and then you get this like title screen that's like 1 week later.
1 week later, yeah.
Right. And then the next week, the second week is when you get the Yorkie getting ready montage. And so you have,
oh
like,
my God, yeah.
just all the tape deck with the different 80s songs. And she's trying, I mean, like, she's got her Pretty in Pink outfit, like her little Ally Sheedy outfit. And she's got her, like, I mean, just all of the, like,
every outfit.
Oh my God. Like, the 80s on display here is out of control. Out of control. She's doing like a whole montage of like the top 80s looks, right?
Yep. And the thing, we talked about the soundtrack earlier, one of the songs they play in this scene is called Girlfriend in a Coma by the Smiths.
It's so good.
Like, what a wild choice. And then you're like, oh, because Yorkie has been in a coma.
Yeah, basically.
For 50 years. And they're like, Girlfriend in a Coma, it's a cute song. Like, it's, everything is so specific.
Their soundtrack choices, like, even just down to, like, the lines that they choose to play. Because every song in this episode really only plays for, like, maybe two or three lines, right? Yeah. Like, most things. Unless it's, like, the dance track sometimes will get a little bit more playtime. But everything else is there to have, like, one or two lines mm-hmm. that are just hyper relevant lyrically, and yeah. It's kind of fucking great. Like, I super appreciate that part of it. But anyway, so it's a week later. Yorkie's gotten ready after like nixing all of the super 80s outfits and been like, I will wear a jean jacket and another collared shirt and my glasses. And she's just
so cute.
She's so cute. I love it. Kelly is like trying to cut the line on Wes again. Be like, please leave me alone. And then she goes and like hits on some other terrible dude with the terrible mullet, and I just, ugh,
he's so annoying,
smarmy.
And also, but like, it's like she's hitting on him, but she also clearly like wants to get away from him at the same time.
She has no interest in this man.
Also, there's one line from Wes here that I just want to mention that says, like, where she's like, just get with one of the locals, like, go to the Quagmire, like, get out of my face, like, I don't want emotional attachments, like, I'm just here as a tourist, I'm not staying. And he says, the locals, they're like dead people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, like, they are dead people.
They are dead people. Well, so and like, it's damn. Like, same thing when, because Kelly's having this conversation with this awful man, and this awful man is, like, telling her all about, like, you know, oh, my knees were so bad.
Yes. He's like, I had to get a knee replacement and shit. Yeah, he's literally an old man. Yeah, he's, like, talking like an old man.
I know, and in
man.
Your head, you're like, wow, how much soccer did this guy play? And it's, like, in reality, again, he's probably
95 years old. Yeah. Yeah.
And chose to come back to this mullet, sir. I have questions.
I know, right? You could pick your hairstyle, right, sir?
I do have questions.
Do you think you get to pick what you look like an avatar?
I don't know. See, here's the thing. So we had our episode on The Matrix come out pretty recently, right? And it's like, you know, in The Matrix where they're like, oh, it's like your residual self-image. Like, I wonder if that factors
similar.
In here,
I mean, it's
as well.
Like, I feel like it's like, they probably look like they did when they were young, but I'm like, can they pick their hairstyle? Oh, clearly they can pick their clothes.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't change your appearance so much.
I don't know, man.
But I feel like maybe he could have fixed the mullet. That's all I'm saying.
Ugh, the mullet is just so much. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So anyways, now Yorkie's creeping on Kelly, just like Wes did. And she's like, I'm just going to watch her dance with this man and sit over here at a table by myself and make eye contact and then follow her into the bathroom like you do.
Like you do.
Totally normally casual stuff. And and she's like, oh, she's gay panicking, this poor girl.
She's so
just
gay.
The, like,
she's like,
I don't know how to do this, just make it easy for me. And you're like, ugh.
I know.
I hate it, but I'm also you do eat it up.
Exactly. I'm like, I'll eat it up, but I am like, some of these dialogue is like so like a man writing lesbians. But I think it works because like the general, like I feel like the general concept of this episode could work as a straight story.
Yeah.
Right? Except, like, clearly, like, there's very specific queer things about it. First of all, the fact that the two main women are queer. Kelly talks about being bisexual, like, later on, which I think is a good conversation they have. Yorkie, like, is in a coma because she's gay. So, like, there's, like, certain things that are, like, very specifically gay.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Okay. But I think mostly it's about, like, falling in love in the quote-unquote afterlife, but even still, like, yeah, just, like, in general, like, falling in love a second time, like, getting a second chance at love with, like, Kelly and her husband, like, whatever. My point here is the dialogue in the bathroom is such, like, oh, my God. It's so
heavy-handed.
Heavy-handed, yeah. Where it's just like, I don't know how to be with a woman. Can you please help me, teacher? Like, and it's like, and I'm like, also, it's so funny because I'm like, how much easier could she make it for you? She literally asked you yesterday,
yeah,
or last week, will you come to bed with me?
Right.
She made it pretty easy.
Yeah. It's like, do you need like an instruction manual? Like, yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Clearly,
but either way, she just needed a push, Shelly. She needed a push.
She needed a push.
Kelly brings her back to her little beach house, of course, you know, to make it easy for her.
Mm-hmm. She makes it real easy.
She makes it so easy. You get a couple other, like, again, these veiled things when she, like, picks up the picture of who ends up being Kelly's
her daughter.
Yeah. But she's like, oh, like, your parents or something, right? Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, obviously you get the, again, this is my biggest, like, this movie definitely was written by men, is the, yeah, instead of a sex scene, you just get the cut to the waves crashing.
Well, you know what's cracking me up about that is we just talked about this.
I know.
We were doing Loving Annabelle, right?
It was in the Patreon episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking about the sex scene where they're, like, at the beach house. And you were like, if they did a sex scene, they would cut to the ocean for the orgasm.
Cut to
and then
the waves
we
crashing.
Literally watched a wave crash for, yes, the orgasm. That was killing me.
Yeah.
So on the nose.
It is. I mean, listen, it's a classic. It's a classic move instead of giving us an actual sex scene, you know, to,
yep,
just.
And then too, like, their whole conversation.
I think, and the timing here too is, like, so perfect because I think they literally get, like, you get the unbuttoned pants
and then it's
waves.
That's it.
And then you
get
to the post-coital yes, processing conversation, you know.
Which is, like, a classic lesbian move. We always have the post-sex, like, let's just talk this shit out, right? So,
sure,
like, Yorkie's like, I've never done this before. I've actually never had sex with anyone. Literally no one.
These two, I just cannot.
That And then they're having, like, it's just, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this conversation is such, like, a man wrote this, but I'm also, like, we also do this as gay people, right? Okay, we do listen, this.
Listen, did a man write a scene that includes the use of the word deflowered?
Deflowered,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, too, like, I actually really appreciate this about the scene, but it is so heavy-handed, where she's like, well, when did you know you were gay? Like whatever. And she's like, well, I like men, too. And yeah. One of the things I like about that is, like, they make Kelly canonically bisexual and they, like, really talk about it. And we don't get a lot of bisexual characters on our screen. So, like, I really appreciate that about Kelly's character. But I also am, like, this conversation is so, like, clunky to be, like,
it is exposition.
Yeah. I love men. I was married to a man. And I also, you know, while I was married, I was thinking about women and blah, 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 but I never acted on it because I loved him. And I think, like, that whole conversation is a good conversation to have in a TV movie, but I just was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's like, because you're getting these conversations, and some of it, like, it's going to be a little clunky, obviously, because you are trying, right?
You get to get all the exposition, like, in one
I was married
episode.
For a long time, right? Yeah. And it's like, they're building to the twist, like,
to the reveal,
to the reveal of the twist and stuff. And it's like, so I get it. I mean, the thing is like, the things that are, like, clunky expositionally because of the design of the episode, I'm willing to forgive more than some of the things where I'm just like, okay, men.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. And I think it works. So, like, there was just, like, a small voice in the back of my head that was like, we're really doing this. But because the actresses have such good chemistry, I was like, I don't even care because I'm in on this conversation they're having in bed together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and it's also like the conversation kind of builds up to, again, it's like you're getting all of these big hints of, like, they're looking at the clock because it's almost midnight, right? And so it's like, same thing. That's the first you get this, like, midnight, like, oh, our time's almost up, right?
Yeah.
And then you get that, like,
blackout kind of,
black screen 1 week later again, right? So then it's 1 week later, and this is the Yorkie.
When she's, like, stalking her through every time period, yeah.
Yes. And God, that's such a good moment, too, right? Where she, like, Yorkie shows back up in San Junipero. She's looking for Kelly. Kelly's not there. She goes to Tucker's. She's asking the bartender. They're like, try the Quagmire. She goes to the Quagmire, which is just this, like, you know, fucking
sex porn dungeon,
steampunk,
like, S&M
warehouse, like, sex dungeon.
Yeah.
Out on the outskirts of town. Like, it looks like it's straight out of an episode of, like, Mad Max or, right? Like,
this is
Fury Road sex dungeon out in, like, the Dust Bowl.
Yes.
So she goes there. Wes is there being like, haha, you too, huh?
Yeah, he's like, I've been there before.
Yeah.
You sleep with Kelly and you are wrecked. You need to find her for eternity.
Yeah. And at least Wes does give her the first useful bit of advice, which is, and also the first, this is the moment where you're like, wait a minute, what? He's like, try other times. He's like, try the 80s, try the 90s, like, try the 2000s even.
No, he says 2002, which I found so interesting because he was like 80s, 90s. Specifically 2002, which I just thought was such a random, like, okay, not the 2000s.
And so then you start getting all of these things where she's, like, trying different years. So you get, like, and she keeps walking by, like, the TVs, and there will be, like, an ad for, like, a specific model of a car.
Or Alanis freaking Morissette.
Or Alanis Morissette. Like, the arcade has different games in it, right? It's, like, it's always Tucker's.
Yeah.
But it's like, very quintessentially set in the specific years
era,
of something, right? And so, and it's so sad, too. The thing that always kills me about this scene is it's, like, the 1 week later of it all.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's, like, every week she has to, like, plug into a different time.
Just to search, like, for her to like, not never find her. She does find her. But, like, it's, it is intense.
It kills me. And it's, like, her little style is just, like, so nerdy and like,
sad.
Just so her, like, every time, you know? And I'm just like, oh. I just feel like she always has, like, a button-down shirt of, like, some flavor, you know? And those glasses. And so, she's like, she's hunting Kelly down. She's showing up at the beach house. She's, like, tracking her through time. And she finally finds her in
2002.
2000 something?
Yeah.
Right? Like
she finds her playing DVR.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Which really
and finds
got
her playing
me.
DDR with the dweeby guy that she yes. keeps blowing off too, right? And like, oh, and also, can we just talk about Gugu Mbatha-Raw in the 2002 style?
The outfit, the hair, looks like
so fucking good on her. Like the
so good.
Hair, the white, she's got like the white denim jacket or
yes.
whatever. Like it's working.
She
so
is working
well.
It, yeah.
It looks great.
Yes.
So yeah, so she like finds her and Kelly's like, you know, like, why are you following me? Like all this stuff and like acting like she's crazy and like Yorkie's like, you're avoiding me, right? Like
just sleep just... with baby gay, get slept with and then is like, damn, this girl just left a me and she does not like that. To be fair, that is so emotional, like her yeah. first time. And then it was like, okay, we're talking after. And then I'm taken right out of it. And then I can't find her. Like, that's very jarring.
Yeah.
Well, but like Kelly's just, whole thing is like no emotional connections.
Yes.
Which we see play out.
And it's such a good scene in general because it's like she does. I mean, she calls out like a lot of her bullshit. And then you get, again, like just some of these little like, world building things where it's like that's the bathroom conversation where like Kelly punches the mirror,
yes,
right,
and the
she
mirror
like punches
comes
the mirror and then
not
it like
have a mirror.
Yeah, it like
yeah,
the camera
punch
pans
it.
Down to her hand and it like pans back up and the mirror's like totally flawless again,
yeah,
and stuff. And so she finds Yorkie's up on the roof being broody and processing her feelings like a lesbian who's been, you know, out for many years now.
Yeah. Yeah, lesbian who's
just like a much more, you know, experienced lesbian at this point, mm-hmm. Processing like a pro up on that roof. And like Kelly follows her up and they sit and have their. There's so much lesbian processing in this
there's
movie.
So
which, like,
much, which is
I'm
honestly
not,
great.
I'm not going to hold that against these men at all.
No, it's great processing. Like,
yeah.
Give it to me. But
it's
yeah, it's
so
like
good.
Basically she's like, I said I wouldn't have any feelings, but like you like, ah, oh God, it is such like. Dagger in the heart, which is like, you changed everything. You know what's interestingly, remember that episode we had where we were talking about if someone, like, you know what I mean, like the like chaser and the,
yeah,
this has a little bit of that trope. Like Kelly said like, bye, I don't want emotional connections, and Yorkie's like pushing, like banging down the door.
Yeah, Yorkie's but like, we're... I've gotten to have feelings once in my life and they were at you. And therefore...
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is your problem.
But I feel like this is one of those examples where we're like, to put it in a queer storyline, feels not predatory. Like, clearly this is not. Like, I feel like Yorkie's not. Wes felt predatory. And Yorkie's
right.
just like, but I want to understand. Like, I thought yeah. we felt something for each other. Like, what happened?
Well, and also because I think, I mean, again, I don't think Yorkie's wrong. Like, she's not picking up on nothing, right?
Yes.
Like she's picking up on clear feelings and connection that is there,
yes,
that Kelly's just
trying
avoiding,
to avoid, yeah, yeah,
right. But at the same time she's like, yeah, I don't want to do a relationship, and then Yorkie's like, I will follow you through every year.
Yeah, and she's like, marry me,
right?
No, it's, but I think like the way that they play it out works for me is my
yeah.
point is like when we were talking about it, we were like, oh, where are situations where it really works? This one works for me.
It does. I mean, I fucking love them, let's be real,
because it's not... it just like it feels romantic.
I can't help myself.
I know.
So yeah, they you know, obviously they have the conversation on the roof, they go back to bed again together, and then they do start to process also this whole situation with Greg, who's the fiance, and they also kind of start to like explicitly start opening that door into like what is the real
what's
world,
happening, yeah,
right, into what's happening. And like, ugh, and that scene where it's like the two of them in their little robes,
I know,
out on the porch.
The
beach, and like, ugh, it's just heartbreaking, you know. And like, it's so sweet. And then from that scene, you get the first actual view of them, right? Like, you get to see,
yes.
like, real-life Kelly, like, old, aged Kelly,
mm-hmm.
right? Who's, like, you know, getting walked down to her little car. Because she's like, let me see you in the real
yeah,
world.
Yeah, let me
like,
see you in the real
me.
World.
And
yeah.
like, My heart. So she
This is the part where I just started absolutely bawling. When they flash to Kelly as an old woman going to visit Yorkie, who's in a coma.
Kelly making the trek out to visit Yorkie and getting to see her in this little, like, basically, you know, unresponsive vegetative state, and meeting Greg and, like, this whole story. Like, Greg basically lays out the whole exposition again, right? Where he's like, yeah, she came out, she got in a car accident, she's been like this since she was
21,
you know, like, in her 20s, like, just her whole life has basically been this, and that they are only getting married because then he is family who can sign off on basically
to,
like,
send her to San Junipero, like, euthanasia, like, basically,
like a medical angel of death in dying kind of thing. Like, he can sign off on her, what do they call it, like, passing over like, passing over to be full-time in San Junipero, because this has been her life. It's just like lying on this bed, and it's terrible. And Kelly
goes, fights to go.
This episode could just be me making that sound for an hour.
Yes.
Like,
well, because she fights to go in. She's like, Greg's like, it's so against the rules. And she's like, please just put me in there for like a minute so I can talk to her. That she has like 2 minutes to talk to her. And in those moments, she's like, I met Greg. How about you marry me instead?
I cannot. I literally cannot.
It's so sweet.
That whole scene is just like so much, like the running up to her on the beach and the proposing, and then she marries her.
I know.
Stop it. And then they get married.
I know. And they go on like their little honeymoon. They're like driving around on their like little Jeep. It's so cute.
They're in their little wedding dresses. They're so stinking cute. I'm going to die.
I know. And Yorkie's so happy. Because, like, she was going to marry this man, Greg, who is clearly, I feel like he's also gay, right? Like, it's sort of insinuated that he's a gay man. Because he was like, I never got married. So I'm like, what the hell? You know what I mean? It's not like he's, like, has this white picket fence view. But he's like, and I just wanted to help a friend, basically. And like, she clearly loves Greg. Like, they both love each other. And like,
he's a great guy.
He's going to help her. Like, he's so
kind. It's so funny to me that it's like the opening of this episode when she's first like, I have a fiancé,
engaged,
Greg.
Yeah.
And like, my knee jerk reaction is always to be like, fuck that guy, right? Like, hit Greg. And then you meet Greg and I'm like, I love you, Greg. You're the best guy ever. All the points to Greg. You, Greg Coco.
I know. But to be fair, all the points to Greg. Because like, he was going to marry her just to like help her out, which was so sweet.
And he was great. And they're great. They're so cute. They're celebrating their little marriage ceremony thing. They're both in their wedding dresses. And then, oh no, the trauma
hits the fan
in full force. And they're like, you know, because I mean, of course, Yorkie's like, why don't you stay here
with me?
Like,
yeah.
Why don't you stay here with me? And like, because she never got to have a life, right? Like, she didn't get to do any of this. And she's like, you married me. Like, we have feelings, obviously. And like, Kelly's like, I pitied you. Like, like all this stuff. And she's like, you don't understand my life and my marriage and my love and our.
Yeah.
And they are just like, oh, God, they are ripping into each other. It's so hard. It's so bad. And then like, Yorkie takes the car and she's just. Kelly takes the car and she's like just driving away and gets like, you know, gets in the car accident, like flies through the windshield. Luckily, pain settings at zero. So she's fine, but time's up.
Yep. And then she just disappears. There's also that like super. She says in that moment too, she talks about her husband. Does she also talk about her daughter then?
Yeah.
Because that's also like that's the thing that wrecks me about this episode. Like the lesbian shit about it, I love. But like, there's also just like such a intense death component, obviously, right? The whole theme is like, would you choose to live in this like dreamscape forever? Do you believe in some sort of other afterlife like Kelly's husband? Did Kelly's husband choose like to leave her by not going into San Junipero?
Right.
And then she's like, well, he didn't want to do it because our daughter never got the chance to even choose to go into San Junipero or not. Right. And it's like the whole thing about their family history is so like tugs at your heartstrings.
Yeah, it's terrible, right? And yeah. So it's like, yeah, they have this big fight and she's like, I can't do this. I can't stay here with you.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves. And then, you know, and then you get this like final scene with her and her little like caretaker nurse person. And she's like, maybe I'm ready, you know? Yeah. And then you cut back to San Junipero and you got Yorkie in her little convertible and you got, ooh, heaven is
I know
playing. And then you get this, like, you get that whole montage of their, like, the, you know, they're like uploading her into the servers. You've got the car driving and you've got, like, you know, the culmination of, like, yeah, she does.
I know. She goes to, she chooses to go to San Junipero. And, like, that's the thing that's so beautiful about this whole thing is, like, first of all, happy ending for our lesbians. Yippee. But two, like, I don't know, there's something so interesting about the dynamic between the two of them in terms of love, right? I just love, like, both of their stories to do with love, right? So it's like,
yeah,
Yorkie has never been in love ever. So she gets this, like, first love, beautiful experience. And then Kelly gets this, like, also kind of first love, like a rebirth of love, because she's never really been in love with a woman in this way. And we all understand, like, that, like, gay puberty thing, right? Yeah. But she also, it's also, like, dealing with, like, grieving her husband, who clearly she also loved. It's like a second act in her life.
Yeah.
Right? So there's, like, so many different cool themes that are running through this that are more than just being gay. Do you know what I mean?
And it's like, because even that final scene, right, like that starts playing during the credits, right? So you, mm-hmm. you keep getting these flashes to, like, the credits and then a cut to something, like to Yorkie in her car and then the credits yeah. and then a cut to. And it's like, and it's this weird mix, right? Because you're getting these scenes of them, right? So you're seeing Yorkie, like, driving down the highway. She's, like, driving up to the beach house. Kelly's at the beach house. But then you're also getting these scenes of, like, Kelly dying, Kelly's mm-hmm. casket being lowered into the yeah. ground. And then you have the thing that I just thought was, like, it was such a great cherry on the cake at the end of this is, like, the server where all of this stuff yes. lives is called, like, Tucker.
Yeah.
Right? And so then you have, like, the little, like, robot arm, like, loading their little memory banks yes. into this, like, storage cloud at Tucker. And, like, I don't know, it's just, it puts such a weird cap on it, you know? Because mm-hmm. you're like, which one of these do I lean into?
Like, yeah, you're, like, happy for the lesbians, but then you're also, like, it's actually, like,
is this bury your gaze? Because you watch her get buried.
True, but it's not.
You literally not. Watch her casket lower into the ground, you know, and you're like, but it's also not. And
but it's also
I kind of love. So
yeah, it's also not.
It's like the ultimate don't bury your gaze at the same time, because, like, they'll never die now.
Yeah, they will live forever. But yeah, I also think it's, like, so, I don't know, just, like, the concept of it is so interesting. Like, I was just saying, it's like, it also is, like, a normal, quote unquote, our usual rom-com ending, where, like, if you are slightly cynical, you can be like, rom-com ending, but, like, they're probably going to end up in the quagmire later. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah,
they'll get
yeah,
sick
yeah,
of
yeah.
each other and they won't feel anything and whatever. Because, like, they still have that darkness, which is, I think, what you're sort of saying with, like, the actual, like, uploading onto the cloud, where you're like, oh, but they're still, like, just chips in a
yeah.
machine.
Right. You're like, they're both dead. That's the thing that I think is so funny about this, because the thing that cracks me up is, like you were saying, like, this does hit so many tropes of, like, queer media, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, in, like, terms of the
baby
predatory
gay.
Lesbian,
yeah.
the baby gay, the coming out conversation in the bathroom, the make this easy for me, the cut to the waves crashing. And it's also funny because when you look at it, it is both, like, a happy ending and also a lesbian movie where they both die.
Die, yeah.
Like, when this ends, they are both dead.
But it's, like, nope. It's, like, notebook.
But it subverts that.
It's, like, notebook vibes for me, where it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
where, like, they both die in the notebook and you're, like, crying so hard. But then, like, you see the two birds fly away and you're, like, but they're birds together and it's okay.
Right.
Like, it's
right,
like
right.
exactly that kind of vibe for me.
It is a little bit.
But that's why it wrecks me. Like, that's why I'm bawling my eyes out. Because, like, they do die. So I'm, like, still having that visceral reaction.
Yeah. But also,
but then you're,
happy,
like, watching
Ellie.
The credits
they
and you're, like,
happy together.
And you're, like,
forever.
They're married and dancing and, like.
And, yeah, and Yorkie finally learned how to dance. So.
Yeah. Finally.
Finally. Yes. She's been in San Junipero for a couple months now, you know.
Yes.
I don't know. I just, it's like, listen, I know at the time when this came out, this was, I think, the first ever episode of Black Mirror that they considered, like, a happy ending.
Yes.
Right? And that was huge. Like, this is,
yes.
If you've watched any other episode of Black Mirror, it is not a
dark,
uplifting show.
No.
By any far stretch of the imagination. So that was, like, a big deal. And it was a big deal to have it focus, like, this story was huge. This was mm-hmm. huge still. Like, I remember the discourse all around this when it came out. And, like, I mean, obviously the lesbians, like, we ate that shit up. I mean, so it was amazing. Like, and it was just, I think it was, like, the acting was so good. And it was, like, that, the reveal, like, the twist was great. The reveals were great. Like, just, it had a lot. It had a lot going for it.
It had so much going for it. Well, I also would want to say, like, so, right, 2016 was also, like, ripe. So 2016, then, like, 2017, 2018, there was, like, so much lesbian content coming out. And I feel like San Junipero, like, was a big reason why. Because, like, this episode came out. It won 2 Emmys. Everyone watched it. Everyone was talking about it. Like, it also showed that a wider audience cares about our stories.
Yeah.
You know, like, in, like, the most, like, on-the-nose way. But, like, I do think it matters in the landscape. In the landscape of queer media, it matters a lot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Also, one thing that I wanted to say about San Junipero, because I sort of remembered this, and then I was like, wait, let me check on this. It was supposed to be straight.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So, like, they started it as a straight story. And then they were like, no, let's do it. Yeah. And then also they were talking about how they really wanted it to be, like, very specifically because there was no way they could have got married in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to show that, like, they could get married in the 80s in this.
Because that's the other thing, is, like, there are certain things where, again, in terms of, like, tropes that it hits, the whole, like, I came out to my parents, but then they weren't accepting of me, mm-hmm. and then I got in a horrific car accident.
Yeah, exactly.
And never got to experience the rest of my life or joy
that's
or
what
happiness
like,
or love
that's
or
like,
dancing or sex. And it's like, ugh, okay.
That part, like, like, really gets to me, because, but I'm also like, okay, but the story they're telling is that
right, right.
she gets a second chance at all
yes.
of those things, right?
And
so
again,
I'm like,
it's
good
like, it's
on
so,
that.
I land so on the fence about so many of those things with this, because they are like, it hits so many of the tropes that we hate and then mm-hmm. tries to like just totally subvert them entirely. And I'm like,
yes.
I mean, I guess you could have also just not hit them, you know? It's like
yeah,
she
yeah.
could have just gotten in a car accident. And it didn't have
yeah, like,
to be
it didn't
because
have
she
to
came
be
out.
The day she came out, she gets, yeah, like, that part got me so much, where I was like, this story you are telling, Greg, is, like, too much. I'm
it's
like,
so much,
so,
it's, like, so on the nose,
like,
you know?
It's so much, like, they're like, we just wanted to tell a story that, like, you know, it's really hard to be gay, so, like, you say you're gay, then you hop in a car, and you get in a coma. Like, that's what
right.
happens when you
right.
come out. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So, like, I totally get you on that one, but I appreciate how they tell it, because it
but
works.
It does also work. It does
yes.
work to be like, oh my god, like, the day she came out, like, she yeah she never got to go on
she,
a
yeah,
date.
She literally
she never got to kiss a girl, and she never got to have sex, and she never got to go dancing, and like, so it does, it like works, but you also hate it for working.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, so many of the things I'm like, I'm laughing at them while
it's
I'm
like
simultaneously
it's
so
very,
into
like,
it.
Yeah, it's like if you took like a Lifetime like coming out like
yes.
teen movie that they'd like play in your health class, and then also made it a sci-fi Emmy winning show. You know?
Yes,
it's like the two merged together.
Yes, where you're like, oh my God. The so dangers funny, of being gay.
Yes, yes. Exactly. It's
but
exactly
then someone's
that.
Like trying to be like, but what if you didn't? What if it didn't have to be like this? Which I do appreciate. And I feel like that is what makes it so iconic.
Yeah.
Also, is Gugu Mbatha Raw queer in real life? Because she plays
no idea.
So many of these. I mean, same with Mackenzie Davis. But I also feel like they play these characters because of San Junipero.
So, okay, wait, here's what I can tell you. One of the top links when you search her is an article titled Gugu Mbatha Raw has no boyfriend and husband as she is rumored to be single.
So, rumored to be single.
Okay, currently the 40-year-old British actress is not dating anyone and has been single for a long time.
Interesting.
Sus. It's a little sus. That's all we're saying.
Or maybe she's just Kelly. Maybe she's just Kellying it in real life.
A little
just
soft,
like,
Ellie.
She doesn't like the emotional connections, Lee. Like, she's just trying to keep it casual.
Okay. Sure, sure.
I know. Sure, we will sure. not. But I'm just curious because, like, the two of them, I feel like since then, obviously, Mackenzie Davis.
No,
happiest
listen,
season.
Wait a minute.
Like,
I'm sorry.
And Terminator.
She is a in the public eye actress. And the most I can find are things when they're like, oh, she dated this one guy a decade ago. Or not even she dated. She was rumored to be dating this one guy mm-hmm. a decade ago. Little right. sus is all I'm saying. Okay.
You're right. You're right. But either way, I love both of them in queer roles. Like, I just feel
oh,
like.
Yes.
And Gugu has talked a lot about, like, the importance of Kelly being bisexual, which I think is really important for, like. I just think Kelly as a bisexual character is like one of the best bisexual characters we've gotten on our screens. Like,
yeah, especially the whole thing of like, I feel like making a bisexual character, because I feel it's still so common, I think, for people to look at bisexual women married to men and just be like, so you're straight now. And it's like, well,
yeah, it's
no.
like, no.
And so I just love that you get to have a character who is like, I married a man and spent my life with a man. And that was the love of my life. And that doesn't make me not bisexual still. Like,
yeah.
I'm still bisexual 50 years of marriage to a man later, you know?
Yes.
And is still like, obviously now in San Junipero, like, hooking up with women and men.
And men.
Like, yeah, it's just, I feel like it puts a nice pin in that point.
Yes.
You know, of like, yes, that is what bisexuality is.
Yes. Yes.
Correct.
Just so much good shit about this movie. There's one other thing I wanted to mention that I didn't mention that's, like, super small, but just a note that I had about, like, some of the, like, things that we saw. That were like, oh, foreshadowing or like whatever.
Yeah.
It was just towards the beginning when she's playing, they're playing the video games and he's like, oh, do you want to play this game? And it's a car and the car crashes and she's like, I can't play this.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that too and I was like, they really, they put it all in there.
I know. It's like they really kind of laid all these like threads out and then like knotted them all together so beautifully. They did
so
a great
beautifully.
Job.
They did a good job.
It is a great episode.
Anything else we want to talk about San Junipero before we dive in to our Q&A?
I don't know, man. I just love it. I just love it.
It is just so, it's so good and such like, I probably won't watch it again for a long time because I'm so drained. It's like it really is like The Notebook for me where it's like, I love
cathartic.
It.
Cathartic. When you need a good catharsis,
but
cry,
like,
you can break this one out.
If I need to bawl my eyes out, I'll watch it. Otherwise, I will just think of it fondly, you know?
Okay.
But so good. All right.
When you've said goodnight.
Okay. Oh, God. Let's head into our Q and Gay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Q. Q. And. Gay.
All right. Question one, Lee. What era would you rather live your afterlife? A, the 80s, B, the 90s, or C, 2002?
Oh boy, that's a tough call. I mean, the thing is like, if I was gonna relive like my prime years, probably 2002 would be closer, you know? But I don't know. They've got their charm for each of them, you know?
True. I think I would like to be in the 90s.
The 90s? Listen, you wanna go back to that Alanis?
Yeah, that Alanis, scene. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Question two, Ellie. Would you pass over into San Junipero? Yes or no?
Yes.
Definitively. Ellie's like, do I want to party for the rest of my life? Yes.
Yes. That's a hard yes for me. Yes. What about you, Lee? Would you?
I don't know. You know, I feel like, yeah, it comes down to some of the same things as like, who would I be passing over with?
With, yeah.
Right? Probably yes. I mean, you know, the problem is, Ellie, you know, the nerdy part of my brain is like, but how can you form memories when you're a static thing?
Yes. All right. Well, if it is logically sound, would you?
Sure, sure. In a logically sound world where my loved ones are passing over, of course I would.
Okay. Question number three. Which San Junipero character is your favorite? A, Kelly, B, Yorkie, C, Greg, or D, Wes?
I mean, listen, sorry to Wes. I do love Greg so much. What a character. I do love Kelly, but it's Yorkie for me, man. I just like that nerd. I love, as much as we hated Mackenzie Davis's character, I shouldn't say
in Happiest Season. Yeah,
in Happiest Season. Like, I fucking love her in this. Yorkie's just such a well-acted character. She does such a great job in this role. And I just, little baby gay Yorkie just trying to get out there and kiss a girl. It tugs at my heart, you know?
Yeah.
She kills me. That's all.
I'm a Kelly girl all the way.
Of course you are.
Love her.
Question four, Ellie. What's your favorite Black Mirror episode? A, San Junipero. B, USS Callister. C, Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. Or D, Striking Vipers.
Lee, have you seen all of these?
I have not. Listen, every other episode of Black Mirror I've ever seen is like early season one. I actually haven't watched a ton of the series.
So for me, it's got to be San Junipero, but I will say a close second is the Ashley 2 episode, which is the one Miley Cyrus was on.
Okay, great. Good to know.
Miley did a great job.
I'll check it out.
And then Striking Vipers is the one with two gay men. You've heard of this one?
No.
Oh my gosh. So they like both, they strap into this like virtual reality video game and they have sex with each other as video game characters. But one of them's a man in the video game and the other one plays a woman. So they're like, it's like this weird thing where they're like trying to play with sexuality and they're like, are they gay? And
right,
you're like,
right.
But they're like sort of in love with each other in the virtual realm. And then it's like, is it cheating if you're like, it's like VR, like they can feel it. So like it's a wild, wild ride.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
And then the USS Callister is like a Star Trek-ish
kind
of one.
I'll put these on a list.
Yes. All right. Would you prefer A, Tuckers, or B, the Quagmire?
I mean, do you even have to ask me this question?
Or C, the Beach House?
Tuckers has an arcade, Ellie. Like, that's not even a question.
Give me the Quagmire, baby.
The beach house is real nice, let's be honest. Yeah,
I think I'm
Tuckers in the beach house, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm actually partial to the beach house as well.
Listen, the Quagmire just looks complicated. You gotta get your nipple pasties on, you gotta wrap like a giant like tire chain around your body somehow, you gotta spike your hair up a lot, you're covered in dust. I don't know man,
it's a
Tuckers,
lot to
Tuckers
handle.
Had a bar and an arcade and like that's good for me.
That's your speed. Yeah. That's me. I got it. Remember, everyone, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at LessHangoPod. All right, for all of our Less Essentials, we like to give you some drinking game rules. Today is no different. And we will also give you our usual warning, which is please drink responsibly.
Not guaranteed you can survive these.
Yes, don't go too crazy. If you want to drink water, if you want to drink soda, do what you want to do. Enjoy it with a friend, with a partner. And if you do, make sure you live tweet us or send us a message of how you fared. Here we go. Drinking game rule number one. Every time they mention the Quagmire.
Number two. Anytime Yorkie mentions her fiance.
Oh, Greg. Three. Anytime we go to a new era.
Number four. Anytime Yorkie and Kelly are in the bathroom together. We love
but
a bathroom
scene.
You
have to show me. Make this easy for me, please, Kelly. Five, every time Yorkie has extreme gay panic.
Valid.
That'll be a big one.
Six, every time that guy wants to play arcade games.
That guy.
He probably has a name. I could have looked
it up. I know. I'm also curious. Well, sorry. Do we ever see him in the real world? Like, I feel like he was like sort of important and then not important.
Nope.
I thought maybe he's just like.
He could be dead, Ellie. Who knows?
Who knows? 7, every time they pointedly use song lyrics.
And 8, every 1 week later screen.
Good luck, everyone. Keep us posted. And make sure you stick around to the end of the episode after the This Week in the Lesdom for our original song. Lee, what is it called again?
Paradise.
Paradise.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 yeah.
We love hearing from all of you, and we love continuing to build this community. So we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out first our listener, Keisha, who DM'd us on Instagram to tell us about a movie called When Night is Falling. So the pitch we got from Keisha is 90s movie, Greek mythology, teacher meets circus performer, meet cute. There's a dog. Where I'm totally sold. I still can't tell whether this is supposed to be a Should Have Been Gay or a Les Essentials, but either way, we're going to figure it out and add it to whichever list it needs to be on, Keisha.
Love that. Also, Amanda reached out to us on Instagram and commented on our Grease Should Have Been Gay post, saying that she's writing a fanfic for Rizzo and Frenchie because there's not enough femslash on AO3 for Grease.
Hot stuff.
So thank you for doing the Lord's work, Amanda.
Amanda, send us the link when it's ready. We want it. Please. I don't read them unless they're completed, just so you know, but like, hit us up.
Send it. As always, I want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much for your support. We cannot continue to make the show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Krista Murison and Twitter shenanigans by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support the podcast, the first thing you can do is leave us a rating and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us financially, which is a huge help to us to support that independent team that we were talking about earlier, you can join us at bit.ly/lespatreon. We also try to give back to our patrons who give so much to us by doing bonus episodes every single month, our own Patreon-only Discord chat, and Les Essentials watch parties for all of our patrons. We need to do a watch party for San Junipero.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, now is the time. We are closing in on the last few days, maybe, where you can still order and get stuff in time for Pride Month. So if you want to check out all of our designs, we just had a sale on our store, and I know we're going to have another one coming up, so keep an eye on our social media for that. But you can find everything that we have on tees, tank tops, totes, all sorts of different product availability. And you can find it at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
You can also check out our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, we are starting to finish up all of our recording sessions. So we're going to be heading into the actual production work on our next show, Journey to the Heart, soon. And who knows what, you know, what we're going to be looking to do next. You can help support us and find out more at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to find us individually, you can find me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.